The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Come back to me.
Our greatest weapon against darkness isn't our superpowers. It's our humanity and our love for each other.
I know this is right.
Have faith, son. We will get Iris back.
God, I'm so here.
This enemy is all-powerful.
It's not just mirrors she's manipulating. It's any reflective surface.
Captain Hunt's requesting backup.
I called in a little bit of extra muscle.
Anyone can save the world with their might. It takes a real hero to do it with his heart.
I know how to open a portal to the Mirrorverse.
I'll never stop fighting to reach you.
What are you? A product of your broken mind?
My wife!
You only have 1% of your speed left.
Let's make it count.
Run, Mary. Run.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to... Actually, this is confusing, because we're going to talk about the trailer and the retro classic 90s series as well. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how you doing today?
I don't know, like, it's crazy. I feel like this day would never have come, but I think it's finally here.
I think it is, man. I think... Whoo! All right, look, here's the deal. Listeners of this show know, we have been very... we've been very conservative in our estimates of when the show is coming back, of when The Flash is coming back. And by that, I mean, we have not done anything at all to confirm anything that has been rumored, stated, be it by, you know, the actual networks or what have you. And I think with all the asterisks that come along with this statement, I think we can finally hang our hat on some hope that Tuesday, March 2nd, we're going to get a new episode of The Flash. I feel pretty confident, Bell.
I mean, yeah, like, they have a trailer, they had, like, okay, so, like, I think worst
case... We've had trailers before.
But I think worst case scenario, what we're looking at is we will get an episode on March 2nd,
mm-hmm.
and then we may get some weird periodic breaks.
Yeah, I think that's the...
But I'm okay with that, you know? It's been, like, a year and a half break now. I can handle, you know, a couple weeks or maybe a month, you know, in between like 4 or 5 episodes or something like that.
Well, honestly, we're only about halfway through the 90s series, so we can handle a little bit. We can handle a couple of months. We're okay. You know what? We stocked up. You know, we saved the 90s series for a rainy day, and a rainy day came in the form of a year of a pandemic, and it ended up being a good decision. But yeah, man, so here's the deal. I think you're 100% correct. We did just get this trailer. Yes, it does mention Tuesday, March 2nd. And before anybody gets upset, I know that March 2nd was being discussed before, and I know that other people had acknowledged that March 2nd was going to be the date. But I'm telling you, this time, for like I didn't feel confident until now. And I think what Bell just said is exactly right. I think what we'll probably get is... an episode, maybe 2, possibly 3 in relatively close proximity to each other, mostly composed of content from last season. And so we kind of get this kind of wrap up of last season. And this is my estimate. After that, we're going to go on kind of a long hiatus before we actually get like the new stuff. That's my safe bet. That's what I'm putting down. But suffice to say, man, we can finally wrap up some storylines and get ready for what's coming next.
We can finally see the actual, like, what was supposed to be the season finale of last season. So that's
right.
Exciting. That's
right.
Exciting times. Exciting times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of hope. A little bit of hope. We need every single drop of hope we can get these days. So I'm all for it. This trailer, by the way, is fantastic. This actually got me way more hyped than previous trailers that we've seen at this point. I think it's very tight. It's a tight trailer. You know what's going on. Iris, spoilers, in the Mirror Universe, and Mirror Master gonna be fighting the Flash. Those things we already knew. But there's a lot to chew on here in this trailer. You had mentioned some standout things that you caught.
Yeah, it's just weird to me because the Flash in this trailer looks nothing like the Flash that we've been watching recently. Iris is actually in this show. It's like, it's just really weird. Like, the suits are completely different. The actors look completely different. And I just, you know, I was expecting,
Wait, hang on. No, Bell. No, wait. I see what you're, are you thinking? No, this is a trailer for the modern series, not for the 90s series. Oh, you've got to recalibrate your brain. Yeah, we're back on Earth Prime, bro. Oh,
okay. Everything makes a lot more sense now.
See, I thought you were making commentary about how little Iris was in last season. Iris was in the 90s series more than she was in last season.
Okay, wouldn't that have been
season
horrible?
Six.
Yeah. No, I kid. Yeah, there were a couple standout moments to me. The two of my favorite ones were the little glimpse of the Flash ring that we got there and the classic line from Eobard Thawne, "Run, Barry, run."
Okay, that's the ones right there, right? That's the one that everybody has been kind of focusing in on is the potential that Eobard Thawne is returning, that is what we are hearing with that. I mean, the look on, I mean, frankly, Tom Cavanaugh's face, because who knows who he's playing.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing, you know, Jerry Wells, the half-brother of HR's cousin or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, so I think it's safe to assume he's still Mega Wells, and Mega Wells did excommunicate, or rather
exercise
Eobard out of his body. So could it be that Eobard has found another Wells of another Earth? Could it be
maybe he was able just to materialize a body out of like Speed Force energy or something?
Oh, now here's an interesting thing. The Eobard is basically, that's a good point, Eobard is essentially like Speed Force energy at this point. He's like a Speed Force energy ghost.
Yeah.
And Barry needs to create an artificial Speed Force.
Yeah.
Dude, what if he inhabits Barry's body in order to give him the speed he needs to go rescue Iris?
Ooh.
Dude.
That could be it.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
And then Barry has to like find a way to get him out somehow again.
Dude, or better yet, maybe it's like, did you ever play Arkham City? Arkham Knight.
Yes.
Okay, so spoilers for those who have not watched that, but it's not too spoilery. Joker basically exists in Batman's mind as kind of like an ongoing like nemesis throughout the game. What if we get that for Eobard? What if Eobard, like for like all of next season, exists kind of possessed in Barry's mind?
That would be interesting.
That would be amazing. I would love that. Like he's slowly kind of taking over to become, you know, to become the Flash. Dude, that would be so on brand.
See, my only issue with that is that they kind of did that with Harry, you know, with the whole, you know, exorcism of the exorcism episode that we had last season. So, I mean, it still feels kind of rehashed, but it's rehashed in a cooler way.
All right. So, but that's the thing. Like, I hear that. I see that. But the difference is that with Harry or Harrison or HR, Indiana Jones Wells, with him, their whole thing was that all of the Wellses were like possessing his mind. So they got us comfortable with this notion that a Wells can like, that like, the, you know, of kind of Wells possession, right? But I mean, there was, you know, Harry, there was, you know, but I don't know. He was talking to all the Wells.
Wizard
Council
Wells.
Of Wells, the Withered Wells. Yeah. The empty Wells, the full Wells, the half full Wells. They got all the Wells. He's Mega Wells. And so we got that, but Eobard leaving that council of Mega Wells and entering into Barry, I don't see that as like a one-off thing. I think that could be something ongoing that perhaps even like the arc of season 7, or at least maybe half arc of season 7, is Eobard taking control of Barry, which is I don't think that's rehashed, because to me that seems far more compelling than him taking over yet another Wells. That is a rehash.
Well, right. I mean, he's not going to take over another Wells. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the reason why it's because Wells has tried, or Eobard's tried this before with the Wells, right? And it didn't work. So it's like, it'd be interesting to see how, I mean, and granted, you know, that's the thing. He's got leverage over Barry because he can be like, I feel like it's going to be more of like a Faustian deal sort of situation. Where, like you mentioned earlier, where, like, you know, Wells is Speed Force energy and or reverse Speed Force energy, and Barry has like in the trailer you've been mentioning, he had 1% of his power left, right? Or 1% of his speed.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's 1% of his energy reserves left, or he can only travel at 1% of his max speed, which wouldn't be very fast. Well, I don't know. He can travel really fast. He's still. Anyway, regardless, all of that, what I'm trying to say is that I think it's going to be a situation where maybe he, like, invites the, you know, Speed Force ghost or reverse Speed Force ghost of Eobard into himself,
yeah,
to try and save Iris, and then has to deal with the consequences of that, which would be him trying to take over his body.
That's exactly right. I think that's a safe bet. I think that'd be amazing too. I think that would set up a really great, compelling story. We get Tom Cavanagh as Eobard, something that I'm a huge fan of. I know many people are, and a great throwback to the first season. I think, you know, if who knows what the future holds? I mean, that's just, you know, who knows what the future holds. But I mean, like, in terms of this series in particular, maybe they might even be structuring this season 7 as potentially the last season of The Flash. Now, there's no basis for that other than things are so uncertain right now that I kind of feel like you have to treat every single season until we get some sort of stability in the world as if it may be the last. And so using this as an opportunity to kind of pay homage to what came before, but tying that connection between Eobard and Barry even further, and possibly what I'm extremely hopeful for is that we get an origin story for Eobard Thawne. We still don't have his true origin story. We had that one throwaway episode where we got, you know, Eobland like for like 2 seconds on his way to the past, but we haven't actually seen Eobland of the future and what motivated him to come back to the past in the first place. And so I would love a character study of this Eobard Thawne, and this would certainly give us the opportunity to go in there.
Well, I mean, this is like pretty much breaking news today as we record this. They have ordered season 8 of Flash and season 7 of Legends. So there will be a season 8.
Okay, look at that. Breaking news. Okay, yeah. Great.
There will be a season 8. Don't know anything other than that, but yeah,
I still think you need to structure, you need to treat every single season you get as if it's like the last.
I don't disagree.
We need to learn.
But I feel that government and business and all of these entities are way more optimistic than they need to be about this whole pandemic and are you know, trying to get things back to normal as fast as possible despite the you know, negative consequences of such. And I feel like that's probably why they greenlit it. I'm sure there are precautions that they're putting into place, of, obviously, to protect the the assets of the actors and the production crews and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like they're not allowing the pandemic continuing to stop them. And granted, like in Canada and other countries, it's a whole lot better than it is here in the U.S. And so that probably means shifting a lot of shooting schedules outside of the U.S. back to Canada and Vancouver and stuff like that. And, you know, keeping eyes on the pandemic and how it kind of plays out in those areas and those territories and stuff. So yeah, but great news. We are going to get an 8th season. But again, you know, with all this is up in the air, we don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if there was any sort of like estimation about that. I think they've given up on giving estimations aside from this, you know, March date that we just saw. So that is good news. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we will see some kind of like, maybe this will lead up. Maybe is that I think that would be a great, right? First season, main villain Eobard. Last season, main villain Eobard.
That'd be great. I mean, I think
it would bring everything to a close. Like, you know, you started with Eobard, you end it with Eobard, and you just make it like brilliant. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, and you got to get to that final scene, right? Like, it needs to come full circle to bring us back to, you know, the future past. And you know, where you know, Eobard's going to kill Nora and Barry becomes the Barry that he saw as a child.
Yeah.
And we've seen that room, you know, obviously that room's gone through a couple of different iterations, but we've had a crisis since then. So who knows who's in that room at this point? We'll find
and
out.
And a flashpoint. Yeah. Crisis and a flashpoint. So like, yeah, it might be like, you know, Bizarro Flash of, I mean, who knows?
By the way, the logo looks super clean. It looks a little like polished and refreshed, with kind of the, you know, the bright red and the yellows are really popping on this thing. I'm digging it. Okay, so let me ask you this: you mentioned, of course, Eobard. That's a big ticket item from this trailer. What about you had a second one as well?
Yeah, we get a little tiny glimpse of the Flash ring, so yes. I'm super excited to see some costumes popping out of some rings, and that's gonna be fun for sure.
Yeah, so great nod. Good to see that the Flash ring is in full effect. You know, the Flash ring is always like, they always show it to us, and I feel like it's one of those things that we don't really see all that often because they know when all they have to do is flash the Flash ring, no pun intended. And we're all like, ah, the Flash ring.
To draw a pipe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got a chance to see Iris. We get a chance to see more about what her experience in this universe is, as either herself or possibly Mirror Master are working to like drive her crazy, thinking that she is back, thinking that she's been returned, thinking that she is with Barry again. I think we're going to see her descent into madness and theoretically a fracturing of who she is, based off of, you know, some of the things that have been pseudo spoiled about what's to come. I mean, these are things that were recorded, you know, before the pandemic. So we kind of know where she's going to go, but maybe they restructured some things. You never know.
Yeah. And I'm excited about that too, because, you know, we had the previous, season, it was Mirror Iris that we had, and Mirror Iris turned out not to be what we thought it was. It was like a mirror clone that was under the control of Mirror Master and then eventually gained autonomy and was like, I'm a real boy, right, and like, right. You know, just disintegrated and stuff. This feels like something completely different. This feels like this is actually like, because I think we had speculated before last season about how this might have been aspects of Iris's psyche that were drawn out of her and put into the real world and manipulated by Mirror Master. But I feel like this is different. I feel like this might actually be closer to that, where this is like her psyche is breaking and fracturing into these different like entities and or just this one entity perhaps.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're going to see some interesting stuff with that, I feel.
Yeah. Well, the great thing is I do think we're getting, I want Iris out of the Mirrorverse as badly as the team as a whole like wants her out, like ready to kind of get our team back. I to be honest, I'm ready to kind of get past this storyline because it's been like, Mirror Master is a rough one to stretch out this long. It was not quite the epic, like, I don't know. Mirror Master's a great character. Don't get me wrong. And I know that we've got listeners. I know we have listeners that Mirror Master, or at least the comic book Mirror Master, is one of their favorite characters. So I'm not trying to bash Mirror Master. I'm just saying, in terms of like an epic villain for the Flash to like go a year before we get the conclusion of the story, is a little rough, I'm kind of ready to kind of get to the bigger ticket Eobardi-esque type of scenarios. But the big thing, man, that I think we've all been feeling is that loss of the Westalin, the loss of Barry and Iris being together. And this episode starts off with that spark between the two. We got some strong lightning rod nods throughout this entire trailer. And
a lightning nod, if you will. Hey-o, I still got it.
And when we actually see Barry go full-on Super Saiyan at the end, which looks incredible, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they had a year to get these special effects right. So, like, yeah. That's probably one of the most epic, like, Barry runs that we're ever going to get on the series.
Yeah, and, you know, I wonder, too, about, like, you know, budgets and whatnot, because they had to cut production so early and they had this leftover budget. Did they just push it forward to the next season? And so now we're going to have, like, you know, even more special effects. And so maybe we can actually have, like, you know, people using their powers, because that was one thing with Legends, at least. It's like we could tell when there was going to be a firestorm in the episode, like, you know, if Firestorm was going to use his powers or not, based upon the effects that were used on the villain for that particular episode. And so maybe we won't have to worry about that here. It's because they have this extra budget and this extra VFX budget, you know, that they're going to use to make Barry run and Gorilla Grodd fight King Shark and like Godzilla come in and like, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. It could be cool.
Yeah. No, man. I think it's going to be, I think we're in for a treat when it comes to the special effects for the season as a whole, like you say. But this episode in particular, if you freeze frame, and I know many people have with that particular, with the Super Saiyan Barry situation. There's a lot going on in that. But one thing I want to point out is that he looks older. Like Grant looks older in this, in this shot. He looks a little weathered, looks like he might have been locked up for a year. I'm just saying that this run may in fact actually be a reshoot. The special effects look incredible. I guarantee, man, this is going to be one of the most epic scenes in the entire series because of the amount of time they had to get this right. And because of the emotional stakes at play here. Yes, we want Barry and Iris to be back together. Yes, we want to capture, you know, we want to break through the mirror universe. We want Iris to fight off, you know, the like her personal demons. We want Barry to be able to get her. We want them to connect. We want that lightning rod moment. There may be something to this where she is like, you know, what happens with the lightning rod, right? Like the electricity comes down, but the electricity goes up. Like electricity comes from the lightning rod to meet the lightning. And so you almost feel like maybe he is pulling from his last source of power, like his depleted power. And it's the lightning that comes from her that actually pulls them together. And so you can kind of see potentially this great moment that is going to be this triumphant moment of reconnection, which I think many of us have desired just universally in our life because we've been apart, because we haven't been in like physical community with one another. And so I'm looking forward to this moment. I'm worried I might be putting too much weight on it, but I think it's going to be a pretty, you know, pivotal moment for the series and probably one of the most epic moments in the entire series as a whole.
Will it be the spark that reignites the Speed Force?
Well, it might be. It might be, or it might be Eobard possessing him, which also could be a player. There's a lot that they could go with it. The other thing too is, and people have already tweeted us commenting on this, the various colors of lightning that you see in that moment. Of course, obviously yellow, a lot of yellow. The Speed Force, you know, is at full effect here. People have mentioned that there appears to be potentially purple, or that kind of white purple-esque lightning that we saw from the Accelerated Man. Which some have kind of assumed means a faster, like running faster than he's ever run before. There's some clear blue at play here as well, which as we have commented on in the past, we've always kind of interpreted that to mean there's something at play that is a artificial connection to the Speed Force. And so there might be that there, or it could be, and this is where I think might be going. If you look at the very first scene of the trailer where there is that spark between Barry and Iris, it is a blue spark. And so I think, you know, I think at that point, you know, when that was first done, there wasn't as much of this, you know, emphasis on the various color lightnings and what those could mean. I think now if we look at this, it's more of a visual callback to the first time that Iris felt Barry's lightning. And so I think this might actually be a nod to that lightning rod concept that she is kind of like pulling him towards her in as much as he is running towards her. You know what I mean? Like her lightning is going to meet his.
Yeah. 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 Cause like you look at the pictures of lightning striking lightning rods and there's always like, I think it's the sky that's negative and the ground that's positive, but like there's a little feeder that comes up and then they meet and then all the energy is discharged.
That's right. Yeah, this kind of charged connection between
it's like a stream of positive ions, yeah, that goes up to meet the negative ions, and then the lightning bolt happens. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of OMG science at play when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
All right, I got to address this. One more thing before I get to the, I'm just wanting to talk about the positives. I got one. It's not even a negative per se. It's just something I want to acknowledge, especially after watching the '90s series. But before we get into that, Caitlin, back on the scene, Killer Frost, full form. She's got her hero garb. Looks like a pretty epic throwdown between her and Mirror Master.
That could be interesting.
I mean, it looks pretty.
That would be
pretty good.
Yeah, like, and because that's going to be a really interesting like matchup too, because everything that Caitlin makes, like, or Killer Frost, everything that she makes, like, all of her ice is reflective, and so you know, Cisco says in the episode, it's not just mirrors. It's all reflective surfaces.
Interesting.
So that's probably going to hinder her a lot. And we might see something like her getting taken out. And that's when they learn that is because she's able to manipulate those reflective surfaces. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a very, very interesting fight between them.
Well, you got Krunk up here wearing his glasses. Or Chester P. Krunk. Krunk. Chester. You got
Black
Chester
hole.
In his glasses.
He's
like, and actually you see the reflection in his glasses. Isn't he technically a liability? Isn't everybody with glasses a liability right now?
I mean, anybody with anything reflective, you know the water on your eyeballs is reflective. So, you know.
That's true. They need to make for her like a prison similar to like Magneto's from X-Men or X2 rather.
It's like painted, like the interior is completely painted by that like Vanta Black stuff that absorbs 99.9% of all light.
Yeah. They had something like that on Smallville. There was a freak that could teleport unless she was surrounded by lead. And so to capture her, they painted an entire room in lead paint and like closed the door on her. It's like, you're powerless now. It's pretty funny. Okay. So yes, good stuff. Excited for this Killer Frost battle. Excited for the kind of the fractured Iris, kind of the, the battle with self, you know, battle with their kind of personal demons and all that kind of good stuff. Excited for the lightning rod. Excited for potential Eobard. Didn't even consider before we talked, man, the concept of Eobard potentially possessing Barry. Now that we've said that, like, I want that to happen. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. If you even look in the background of that sequence, you can see that artificial, you know, soccer ball looking thing that they created to try to generate their own speed force. That is what is going to happen. I will mark that down right now that Eobard is going to, like, he is going to have to possess Barry in order to get her. And like, that's going to be incredible.
No, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time. It's been a while since I've been right, but it's happened before. How about that for a throwback? It'd be great too. If like Barry's like chilling out and everything's good and Iris is back and everybody's happy. And then, he just, you know, he's like, oh, you know, hey, it's good to see you. He's like, Barry, what are you doing? I was just painting. Like, why are you painting your costume yellow, Barry? Am I? It looks red.
Kid Flash's costume's yellow. I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, just, I was, you know, trying to be like Wally. Wally's all like spiritual and stuff. And like this, the spiritual nature.
Maybe
this
will help.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that'd be great. Here's the thing. Eobard, Iris, Killer Frost, Barry, Joe, Papa Joe, Cisco. Can't wait to see him. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we had a Papa Joe moment in that trailer too, which is pretty great.
Yeah, nice little nod. I think, speaking to kind of the way that we're all feeling right now, I think there's a lot of opportunity to, to give us all hope, give us a little something to look forward to. Here's the thing. We also have very quick flashes of a bunch of people I don't care about. And I'm sorry, but I don't. I don't want to be that guy. I don't, dude. I like being positive about this show. I love this show. But man, I don't care about a lot of these new characters. And I wish I did. Kinda.
Well, you were that guy right there.
I was that guy, wasn't I? I've been that guy. And I hate being that guy. But like, because I love the show. And I love the lore of the show. But I'm telling you, so we have been, and if you know, I think when this is all said and done, this is just going to be a trailer episode. We were going to do like a little bit of trailer talk and then talk about the 90s episode, but we're going to have to punt that to next week because this is all trailer talk. This is all season 7 speculation at this point.
It was supposed to be like 5-10 minutes, and you know, here we are going on about, you know, almost close to 30, and we haven't even begun to talk about the episode.
Yeah, we're half an hour in. That's not going to happen. But from that standpoint, let me just kind of put into perspective, because since this will go out as kind of like us talking about the trailer, that means that we're going to have a lot of people listening to this episode that haven't really been rocking with us during the 90s series. And that's okay. That's something that we saw, kind of a big drop off of people, of listeners during our kind of 90s recap. Now, a lot of people have really enjoyed the 90s recap. And so I'm really glad that we're doing it. It's given us kind of something to stay connected with and to educate ourselves. I think we'll actually be far better at reviewing the modern series, having gone back and watched the retro series. And you'll hear us actually referencing some things, you know, from the retro series that we probably should have been before. And so I'm really excited to see how that plays out in future episodes. But one of the things about the 90s series is the cast is so small.
Yeah.
It's tiny. It's like, it's the smallest cast. You got Barry, you got Julio, you got the Mercury Labs doctor. Wait, why am I blanking on Tina's name? Tina? You got Tina?
Tina McGee.
Tina McGee?
Why am I blanking on Tina's name?
I don't know. I don't know how my mind works. Anyway, you got Tina, Julio, and Barry. And half the time you don't have Tina, and half the time you don't have Julio.
Yeah.
So you really just got Barry. And so
the villain.
And the villain. But the villains always have this extensive backstory and all of these supporting characters. Really, the villain has the whole casting scenario for one episode that the Flash has to deal with every episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So having that be the case, it has allowed for some tighter stories, or it did allow, I should say, for some tighter stories. It allowed for some deeper character exploration. It also kind of leaves you wanting more from the characters that you've got, which is great. You know, their side characters, Sabrina, hashtag where's Sabrina, always mentioned, rarely there. But you know,
so it was her poker night.
It was her poker night. You know, we're gonna talk about it next week. Okay. Yeah. I wrote it down. I was like, okay, Sabrina watch. She's at her poker night. Okay, that we know. But that's the thing, man. So you got these characters, you got a few characters that kind of show up around them, like the lieutenant and such. But for the most part, it is a tight, tight cast. And it allows you to kind of introduce a lot of different characters, build lore, and all that kind of thing. I wish that somewhere between what the 90s series did and what the modern series is doing, we could get to that place of a tighter cast of those core characters. I'm not saying get rid of some of these other characters. They're great, theoretically, potentially. But don't make them series regulars. Like, actors got to work, and so I am all for people getting paid. Don't take this as a critique on the opportunities that this provides various actors to have kind of series regular roles and what that does for their careers. That's awesome. I am talking from a storytelling perspective. We've got way too many quote unquote main characters, and some of them got to go. Some of them got to go. Cisco can basically go at this point. I love Cisco, but like they gave up on him a long time ago, which is so frustrating. So he either needs to like come back in strong or go. And they keep on adding all these characters, which makes me think he's never going to come back in strong.
See, like, I always felt like that was kind of the whole point that they made Legends was so that they could rotate characters out of these main shows, keep the cast small, and focus on the main heroes. And then, because that's the thing is, a lot of these are you know, fan favorite characters. And so we don't want them to go away.
No.
But like, give them a home on Legends for, you know, a couple seasons. And then they can rotate out or whatever. You know, something like that.
Or
rotate back to the main show.
How about this? How about actually do more of a Flash versus the Rogues and bring on some series regulars for a season that are on the villain side? So we don't have 30 gazillion heroes and one villain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That could be really cool. Yeah.
That would be great. And then we're not getting like some, you know, kind of random, you know, D-list comic book character who's now a, you know, the 14th main character on The Flash. Now that person, like, or actor or role or whoever, whatever they may be, whatever that potential job opportunity is, can be a full season villain and actually be a top tier level character and actually, like, you know, bring some gravitas to the show. So from a storytelling perspective, I just feel like there's a better way to do this. I don't know why they keep on adding characters. My guess is this is just me pulling concepts out of the air. I have no earthly idea. But my guess is it has something to do with, like, you know, based on how many actors your show has, you probably get some sort of like filming incentives in Vancouver. I don't know. I know that, you know, filming in Canada is really, really good for lining the pocketbooks. So my guess is it has something to do with that. I could be totally wrong. But regardless, I'm just saying if you've got this opportunity to bring on more actors onto your show, to bring on more series regulars, use them more effectively. Don't just pound them into Team Flash. Team Flash is basically the Justice League with all of the Justice League rejects. And I don't mean that. I'm not talking about the actors. I'm not talking about the portrayal of the characters. I'm talking about the source material in which the characters are coming from, where it's like next to nobodies. Like, let's get some top tier characters in, people. Let's get some top tier characters in. Let's utilize them. Let's find some amazing actors, which clearly we already have, but give them better roles. And like, have them engage with the actual story to move it along, as opposed to detract from the story. That's my soapbox.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, it's been kind of refreshing. We're so used to having so many characters; it's kind of refreshing to not have as many on the '90s show.
Yeah. Now the '90s show had its issues. I mean, like, don't get me wrong.
Sure. Yeah. And like, that's something that, you know, there's been two real big issues I think that I've had with the show, and that is it's too many episodes for one story arc. So either they needed to cut down the number of episodes and focus on one story that they can like really flesh out and develop without having to do filler stuff, or have multiple story arcs, which we got with Bloodwork, you know, and Crisis and all that kind of stuff, which was awesome. It worked so well. Right. And so, combining that with cutting some of the character glut, and like Bo said, these are all characters that we love, and so we want their stories to be, we want to have them featured in stories, right? And so, but when you have so many...
Cecile is a great example, actually. Cecile is like one of my favorite characters on the show. But she's kind of pointless to a lot of the story, which is unfortunate. Yeah. Like, she made a lot of sense when Joe was out. Like, there was actually an aspect of, like, that mentor, that kind of parental role had to step down because, you know, obviously there were you know, health needs behind the scenes. But regardless, so she was able to step up. Loved her, especially in her relationship with Nora and how she was able to kind of bridge that gap between her and Iris, yeah. like Nora and Iris, and kind of be that, you know, kind of maternal role there. So I just in general, Cecile is just a ton of fun. Like, she's a great character, fantastic actress, but overall for most storylines doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I hate that.
And it just, and it does suck because, like, you know, like we've been saying, these are all characters that people like, right? Like, a lot of people like these characters. Some people don't, some people do, but, like, overall, I think, you know, everybody generally likes the characters on the show. There might be one or two here and there where they could be like, whatever. And so it sucks when you go week after week after week without seeing either A, seeing the character, or B, having them just be there and just not do anything because they don't really fit into the story. So, like, there needs to be either a giant culling where they just, you know, crisis off a bunch of people or something. I don't know. And or, you know, or figure out
Red Wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a Flash Red Wedding or something where Eobard just kills everybody. And it's just Barry and Iris and Eobard.
What if Eobard kills everybody while what if it's Barry, though? Like, he uses Barry. Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
I mean, it'd be great setup for the last season. Where Barry's got to, like, avenge everybody. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, you have all these characters and you just don't have a way to implement them all into the story without it being bloated and crazy. And so, yeah, it would be nice to sort of see the number of characters reined in somehow, while at the same time, you know, giving them a dignified sort of farewell.
Yeah, a solid exit. You know, all right. So on the flip side, I'll give kind of another Smallville reference because that's what I do from time to time. At the tail end, like, Smallville was, they got 10 seasons out of that show, and near the end, you know, a lot of the actors had kind of rotated off. And so the main cast, they had to really, they upped people into series regulars at the tail end. That was like side characters, 'cause they just needed to fill space. And like, they were like hungry for series regulars. Like, you, Dr. Emil Hamilton, you've been around for a couple episodes. You're a series regular now. But it made sense in that show because it would have felt way too light otherwise. Like, there was almost nobody there. So it's the exact opposite problem that we're having here. But anyway, all right, that's been discussed to death. Overall, man, the season trailer, or, you know, the season 7 trailer looks really, really, really incredible. I say season 7 in all actuality. I think this is really just kind of the next probably 3 episodes of The Flash that we're getting with this, which is typically the case with an early season trailer. Any other thoughts? Anything else from this you want to pull out? You want to? We should end on a high note after the soapboxing.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm just, like, super excited. So I've been going back. Like, me and Christy will go back, and we've been watching Buffy. As I'm sure some of you know. Yeah, like, we're on the tail end of the 4th season now. About to have the big old fight with Adam, I feel. And so that's been fun. But, you know, that was like an early 2000s show. And so, you know, and the Flash is obviously from the 90s. And I've been going back watching a lot of 90s movies. I'm just looking forward to watching a modern show with modern special effects in 1080p, you know, like, or 4K, or, you know, whatever. Like, oh, my gosh, man. Like, it's just I long for that. And so I'm so excited to see a new show with modern technology.
I'm telling you, man, on top of that, I really do think that we're in for a treat when it comes to the special effects.
Yeah.
Because I think we got some good stuff to look forward to. This will be a cinematic-esque moment. I think we need to do kind of a watch party for it. We're going to have some fun, but we'll have more information as we get a little bit closer to March to kind of flesh that out and let you know what to expect. Hey, I also want to make mention of, you know what? One last thing I got to mention of this is Mirror Master does the copying thing in the trailer. It's kind of pseudo blink and you miss it, but like, she's like, she fractures herself and like splits herself up.
Oh, it must have. Yeah. It certainly was blink and you missed it, 'cause I missed it.
Yeah. They show it from kind of 2 different angles too. That's going to be a great moment.
Yeah.
But no, man, I think we got a lot to look forward to. For those that have been enjoying our 90s retrospective, I'm sure there's a lot of questions as to what's going to happen, because obviously we are going to get some new Flash before we get to the end of the retrospective. And here's what you can expect. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, our money is on us getting an episode to 1 to 3 episodes relatively close together, and then there being some pretty significant hiatuses throughout this season. So in the weeks that we don't have a new episode of The Flash, we will be doing those retrospectives on the 90s Flash. Now, you know, that'll make the feed look a little crazy, but you know, hey, this is kind of where we're at. So hopefully that won't be too terribly confusing for folks, but we're not going to abandon our 90s retrospective. Those of you who have been enjoying it, we know you've been enjoying it a lot. We've gotten some great feedback that we'll kind of go into in next episode as we kind of return into that retrospective. But yeah, so you can look forward to that every single week leading up to this new episode of season 7 of The Flash, and throughout the likely rocky course of the season 7 rollout, you can look for some great 90s retrospectives in the middle of all that as well. So yeah, I think that's probably going to do it for us for this week, but we want to encourage you to keep up with us. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. You can also follow Flash at, or rather the podcast at Flash TV Talk.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Flash TV Talk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can check out the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
That's right. And hey, TV is back, kind of, maybe. I don't know. TVTalk.fm is the place to go to find your TV Talk and podcasts. So check that out. And hey, if you're going to miss us in the meantime, don't worry. We'll be back in a flash.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.